I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everybody? Part one of the Great American Bash is over, and I'm here to talk all about it with you guys. But I'm not by myself. Of course, I have who's pretending to be Bailey this week and taking a backseat to the Sasha of the group.
Blueprint, as you call yourself?
The blueprint, the boss, whatever other B words you can find. How you feeling, brother?
I'm good, man. Hamza Khan, I can't believe it. You're running the show, which is great because I took zero notes. I'm kidding, because my eyes were glued to the screen. I'm actually a huge fan of the Great American Bash. I'm glad it came back in this iteration. And I, for one, I'm here to talk about wrestling.
Let's do it, man. And in fact, I almost called it the Great American Barbershop because I felt like there were little barbershop twirly things in the background. But no, it was just red, white, and blue balloons, right?
Yeah, well, you know, America is a brand that needs some help right now. So whatever they can do to help it, that's great.
Let's go, man. Well, it kicked off right off the bat, right? We had, Fatal 4-Way to start off. Had all the ladies going at it, which I think was brilliant to start it off that way. Dakota Kai, Tegan Knox, Candice LeRae, Mia Yim. I didn't realize it was an elimination match, which is kind of cool the way it turned out. I also like the fact that it kind of started a few little rivalries here and there within the match. But overall, what do you think?
Man, I think it was announced a couple days ago on the WWE NXT page. So it wasn't announced originally that it was going to be elimination. So good treat. I love elimination matches. When I fire up 2K on the Xbox, the X-Bizzle, last year's version, all my matches are elimination. 8-man, 4-man, you know what I'm saying? So always go with that. And I was a bit surprised that Candice LeRae got eliminated as early as she did. I mean, she didn't make it to the commercial break. But like you said, it went for the best because now we got two other things falling out from that.
Yep. I mean, there's a reason behind everything. And I think, yeah, that's exactly what it was to set up for the match, I guess, they're having next week or the week after. I'm not even sure if it was made official yet with Gargano and Swerve getting involved. We'll talk about that later on. Yeah. But I like anything elimination style. Like anything I do on 2K as well is always elimination style. That's why I always go for the Royal Rumble. Right? One of the best elimination matches you can get into.
Oh, yeah, that's what we put it. Oh, I want to give a shout out to chat. Zeno Wire, Mond is saying, big up, Hamza. That'd be you. And Joseph Boza said, yep, Hamza's guiding us through the Great American Bash. Yeah, man. If you want him back for next week, let the people know. Hashtag Hamza Mania, brother.
Perfect timing, too. I just became an American last year, so I guess I can host this Great American Bash.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Is that just as hard as everyone says it is? Because I think it's pretty difficult.
It was hard because I had to keep myself from making jokes the entire time. But that's about it. Other than that, it's pretty simple. It's pretty American, and it's red, white, and blue.
I'm afraid to take it myself. I can't lie to you, but I'm afraid to take it.
But so right after the match, we ended up seeing, Damian Priest cut a promo in the background. So, I mean, I'm not really sure where it's going with this whole Damian Priest, Cameron Grimes thing. He seems to continue to take L's, but he keeps coming back like he's going to do something. I'm not sure. Can you make sense of this?
Man, it looks like Cameron Grimes, who is all heart and all hat, is going to be your new number one heel in the mid-card division. Props to him. I mean, look, here's somebody people have a feeling about. Either you think he's kind of cool or you don't really like the guy. So, of course, if I was a shadow booker, put him in there. What I'm super confused about is this Damian Priest fellow. Like, one day he's a vampire, he's an archer, he gets the girls, he's a good guy, he wants vengeance. Like, what's his deal? We're going to see more of him whether you like it or not. That Balor match in your house pretty much made him. But to be fair, I guess I'll watch this. I'm willing to take this on the undercard.
Yeah, I mean, they still put on a good performance at the end of the day. I just want the story to make sense. That's all I'm saying. You know,
he put him through a car. I think it makes sense.
He shut a car door on his lower back. I guess. Okay, cool. We'll leave that where it's at. But you know, right after that, we went straight into the Thatcher versus Oney Lorcan match, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this match was on the card. I don't think I saw it on the card, but no, it was. Either. Right, it was kind of thrown on. But I guess they must told to just go out there and put on a good wrestling clinic because that's kind of what it seemed like. The audience was at one point chanting USA, but both men are American. So I don't know. What'd you make of it?
Well, or Lorcan is one half of the Brit Am Ballers. I hope they're rooting for Oney. Like, look, I'm a big fan of Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. I think that tag team would have all the gold if I was a Phantom Booker, which means I will sell nothing to kids, apparently. I was saying this to my friend when I was texting. I said, look, everyone talks about on AEW, there is a team that used to be on WWE roster, the Revival, FTR, and their whole thing is no flips, just fists. We're cool because we just hit hard. And personally, I'm not quite feeling it, but not to bury them. But what I'm saying is, what I think is interesting is it's almost like a counterculture thing to think now, too, right? We have done of seeing everyone doing tope suicidas. We want some good old chain link wrestling. And what we saw was a clinic. Yeah, Thatcher wasn't flashy. And yet Oney Lorcan isn't the most flashiest either. But I, as old as I am, was like, throwback.
Yep. You know, a wise man once told me, I don't remember who this wise man was, but I do remember words, that fashion always recycles itself. And I think that happens with all sorts of entertainment in general, mm-hmm. right? I feel like things kind of come and go in waves. It used to be a flip or two where every now and then in a match card at the end of the night, right? Like you have one big flip and it would end in a big note and it'd be the biggest, you know, pop of the night. Now, yeah. since everyone does the flips, now all of a sudden someone like Daniel Bryan gets in the ring and they start going at it, locking, you know, different submissions and things like that, rolling around in the ring, making it seem like an actual fight. And I think it's just the wave it's coming back to. And who knows, we might go back into the big man days.
Well, I think two things about that. One of my guys, the guys I saw before they got signed, like it was Pete Dunne. And even though it gets kind of overdone now, when he used to make the joint manipulation, like no one did that before. So every snap, I don't know how they did it, was like, oh, snap. Here's a little bit of an anecdote. I started in wrestling in about 2010-11 as an announcer with Johnny, and who passed away this year. I'm sure we've heard that on all those social media sites. Really got my start in there. Dave Marquez, a lot of guys. And I remember him specifically having an argument with a talent who was in the first match, because in that first match, they did everything. They tore the house down. They went off the top rope. They were like swinging from the ceiling. And it was like, well, you burn the audience for everyone else. And that was the first time I realized that not only are you fighting to have a good match, but you're fighting for a match to have a natural build for your live entertainment. And props to those guys. They were in a second match spot. Usually that's the slowest and lowest ones, but they tore it down.
Yeah, they did tear it down. And you can't just throw everything at the audience right at the beginning of a match. And that's kind of what they mean by you know, work together as teamwork. You're coming together to put on a performance on a show. You know, if we're comedians, we're going on stage and some bald Pakistani guy comes in and does all these bald Pakistani jokes, it'll kill it for me. So totally understand where they come.
Has that happened? Has that really happened?
No, I make sure they don't put me next to anyone named Vinush or Vinadri.
good to know.
But yeah, I mean, do you want to, what, when you're done drinking?
I'm not drinking, I'm clearing my throat.
People know where they can find us. That's the question.
Yo, that's right, yo. It's the Great American Bash. It's the NXT After Show, one of the many shows underneath the AfterBuzz TV wrestling and sports umbrella. Look, we need your help because we're small. We're an offshoot, man. We're just a slice of the AfterBuzz pie. So if you're watching right now, like, comment, subscribe to the channel. We have a super chat function right here in the live chat. Hit that $, say how much you love the show. And if you're like me, you're doing the whole podcast thing in your car and the whip, yelling at people outside to wear a mask. Here's what you do. 5 stars on iTunes. Pull over first, but 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify. Leave a comment. We read all of them, honestly. I go to these meetings, and Mr. Nagar, who owns the network, is like, Flobo, you know, we haven't got 5 stars. Like, I'm trying every week, please. So 5 stars, support the show, because we are the ESPN of TV talk. I'm Zakai.
I mean, if our show was a frog splash, I'd want it to be a 5-star frog splash, all right? I don't want it to be any other frog splash.
Yeah, those 2-star splash.
All right, I want to move on to what I thought was the most fun match of the night. And I don't know, Rhea Ripley, right? Rob Stone, Aliyah. These guys went out there and I feel like it kind of was rough to watch from time to time, but when they were doing these different little skits here, and I feel like this put in a lot of different skits within to it, you know, with Rob Stone coming out dressed like a boxer in a
Mark
wrestling
Mero, match, I thought. Like, straight up Mark Mero vibes.
Yeah, Mark Mero, right? That's exactly what I was thinking. And Aliyah did her thing. I think all 3 stars did what they needed to do in this match, and I had really, really enjoyed it. I really am curious to know what other people think. I wish we had more panelists here to ask everyone's opinion, but what did you think about this?
Well, Mons is already sick of me. No, I'm just kidding. It's not the Mons chat. No, I really feel like this one, okay, yes. Comedy and wrestling is always weird. And if you said, I can't believe the former NXT Women's Champion, number one contender, is now doing a comedy match with Robert Stonebrand, she deserves better, you're not wrong. But what I'm saying is it is in this card. We've got Robert Stone that has his own story, a guy that's trying to manage female talent in the division. You got Aliyah, someone where, unfortunately for us, last year on this very same program, we kind of written her off. We're like, oh, Leah, she's going to be around. But now she gets a featured match on a quasi-pay-per-view. And you got Rhea Ripley, who got her finisher off with 2 people at once. I think everybody wins.
I agree. I think everybody wins. And it may not make sense on a match card like Great American Bash, but to me, as somebody who loves wrestling and is trying to be as involved as possible, it makes sense. You know, when you want to build a star, stars have to have personality. You can't just go out there and rip people's heads off. It doesn't work that way, you know? And yeah. For you to get to that level, you're going to have that bit of lovableness. Lovableness.
I like it.
Hashtag lovableness.
Trademark it.
And yeah, Rhea Ripley did that. She was lovableness to me tonight.
Are you a face or heel when you wrestle? I'm curious.
They always want to make me a heel because of this, the dark.
Because of what?
It's like you're dark, so no.
Hey!
They always want to make me a heel, but I always end up being a face when I'm wrestling.
Is that cool? Like, I'm asking is like, here's Rhea Ripley. Her personality has heel written all over it. I mean, she wears like studs and chains, but everyone loves her. Right? Do you want to be a heel that's cheered, or is there like kind of like a thing for being a pure heel versus a pure face?
The issue with being a heel is that nowadays being kind of a negative Nancy or a badass or whatever you want to call it is more likable than someone that's just like a happy-go-lucky good person, right? So it's tricky to be a heel because you need to get heat on you, and if everyone loves you, Samoa Joe is a great example of someone who's a great heel. But he's so good and likable that we end up loving him and everyone just chants his name. So to me, whatever's needed for the night, whatever's needed for the match, that's what I will do. But if I have to choose one or the other, it's more enjoyable playing a heel because you get to just be a piece of crap.
There you go. Oh, man.
Best way to put it.
Life goals.
Yep. Now, here's the match that I thought, in my opinion, let me down the most tonight.
What?
And it's going to be the strap match. Loomis, Roderick Strong.
What did you want? Moonsaults? Like, you want a pyro? What? How to let you down? It's a strap match. They use a strap. It was a match. As advertised.
Did they use a strap? That's the question. Did they use, like, this? Here's what irritated me about it a little bit. At the very beginning, the strap is as long as the ring. So if you want to get away from somebody, you go to the other side of the ring and you go through the ropes and you're outside. Now they can't yank you back in. In my opinion, the strap's supposed to be just short enough to where you can't get out of the ring. And if you try to, someone could pull you back.
Okay.
Then on top of that, I felt like the majority of the match went through and Loomis just got kind of beaten down throughout the most of the match when I really wanted him to come off a little bit stronger. And they didn't utilize that strap enough to make it seem like it could have been without the strap and we would have been just fine. It would have been insane to me. That's where I meant with that.
Allow me to disagree.
Okay.
Because your boy Roddy, which it's so ironic when he was solo, he was just so strong, the striker guy became the fourth dude in Undisputed Era. He ran. So instead of saying cage match or wool games or whatever that is, right, or lumberjack match, it's the same thing. The second strap match we had this year, of all things, you would believe that. I didn't think. The first ever on NXT, but I'm just surprised this old school like stipulations come back. You know what I mean? Even though it's like, okay, great. Fine. It didn't make Loomis look as strong as he did. Roderick Strong should have been dispatched a lot earlier, but I feel like it's a symptom of a bigger problem in NXT. Like that Finn Balor Damian Priest match should have been quicker. Karrion Kross, all his opponents should have been quicker. I really think it's an issue of fighting time. That was fine. I wouldn't say it stole the night. I'm agreeing with you, but I'm not gonna be like it was disappointing. It was trash.
I guess when I'm expecting a strap, I want the strap to be used more. That's all. I just wanted to come into play because he ran away last time. So have him run a bit more, chase him, pull him back, cat and mouse, who knows? But
it was welts on his back. He choked him out with the strap. What do you want, Hamza?
What I want is more Johnny Gargano is what I want.
Really? You're the only person who's ever seen that one.
That no one ever.
I don't think Candice wants more Johnny Gargano, but okay.
Hey, if Mr. Alexander is listening to this right now, he's probably punching the screen.
Right.
But no, we saw a little backstage clip with Johnny Gargano and Isaiah Swerve Scott, right? And Mia Yim and Candice LeRae. Candice, in the middle of their talking, just ran over and started attacking Mia. Johnny got involved. Isaiah got involved. Kind of didn't see this coming. So what do you think?
It took me a second. I'm like, well, who the hell is that? Oh, Swerve. I haven't seen Swerve in weeks.
He's on 205.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. But I don't do that after show because we don't have that after show after Buzz Heat Wrestling and Sports available now on iTunes. All kind of. Okay, anyway, point being, I am here for it. I am totally here for it. Me and Yim actually had one of the better performances tonight that she had in a while. that made me go like, okay, I can see where it goes. Candice LeRae was beaten kind of simply, so I see her getting her own heat back, as they say in the biz, boy. And Swerve was cool. He was in the cruiserweight title. I'm kind of tired of him being a placeholder dude. So if he gets a match off next week, even if he loses again, then I'm all about it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Swerve.
What is that? Yeah.
I'm with you on Swerve. I really like the guy's skill set. He's really good, and he seems to just be a placeholder and just kind of throw him in and just fill him in here, fill him in there. And I wish they would do a little bit more with him, but you can't really do more with everybody, can you?
Nope. Yeah, that's kind of the hard thing, man. Like, and if you ever had like a simulation game, like a manager game or GM game, you're just kind of like, hey, these players don't work here. I got this kind of budget, this kind of time. Swerve, I know you're good. This is the curse of workhorse. Italia, Swerve, Cesaro, I know you're good. I can get back to you later. I need to get these guys some more love, and then that's what happens.
Unfortunately, I call them like the talented people with no personality.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have a lot of talent. You're obviously skilled. You're a technician. I can see it. But there's nothing fun about you or anything that I want to get behind. I think that's the biggest issue when it comes to these individuals that you named. Speaking of issues, which I didn't see come in, Drake Maverick's neck is fixed, right? 1 week is all it takes to survive concrete.
Yeah, man, essential oils. That's what you need. Essential oils surrounding your neck.
I mean, what'd you think about that? It was kind of, in my opinion, I always love when someone is by themselves and then they get saved by some others. And Escobar was out there with Wild and Mendoza. And again, I think the aesthetics of those three together look really great to me. I love the visuals and everything like that. I like what they're doing. So I'm enjoying this. And then, you know, my team, Breezango, came on out and saved the day.
What, your team?
This is my team, Breezango. What's that?
Really?
Your team? You could have.
No, I'm Virgil Morgan. I'm Virgil Morgan. I'm just kind of like, that's your team, Breezango?
I love Team Breezango. Who does not want to see Breezango wrestle?
I don't hate them. I just feel like weird that when someone said, hey, Flobo, $10,000, you can guess who Humza's team is, I would not pick. I'm sorry. That money's gone. I had no idea.
Okay. That's true. My teams do switch every 5 minutes. So they came out to save Maverick, which was kind of a surprise to me. I didn't anticipate them to be the ones to come in and step up. Obviously, they're good to bring talent up and they're good to work with and things like that. But just as a viewer of a show, of a television show, I didn't anticipate them to coming out. What'd you think?
I agree, man. Here's the thing about, was it Legado de Fantasma? I like them. I like them a lot. As someone who covers Monday Night Raw, you got to tell me why that's different than what Seth Rollins is doing. And they try a little bit tonight by saying, hey, look, here's the legend of being a luchador and we're different. Props. Drake Maverick obviously has a score to settle. He got beat up, but anyone goes into a 3-1 knows you're going to get beat up again.
Yeah.
I didn't see Breezango coming, but they're not doing anything on the card. And we always sit around these shows and go, Tyler Breeze is so great. So here's where you go. But I said on Twitter when it happened, like, you can't have a giant stare down and be like, oh, next week, I'm going to beat you. And then here, it's like, really? You know?
I crack up at that entrance every time I see the audience doing this. I just start dying. That's so hilarious to me. You know what? One thing, I'm going to give you some props. You learn everyone's name. I do a trick where I just go with the last name only, so I don't have to learn the entirety of everything that they have to spell out. I feel like you learn everyone's name.
It is weird. I know.
It's really cool, actually. You know, I wish more people were like that.
I tried, brother.
Yeah. I mean, it was what it was. They're gonna do a match next week. Now it's a 3-on-3 6-man match that they're doing. It's been added to the card now. Then there was another match added to the card too, right? I think there was a. Was the Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae added to the card for next week or no?
I know for sure Candice LeRae was added with me. Yeah, I didn't hear about Johnny Gargano, but I'm sure that's probably one-on-one. Probably added like on Saturday just to give you extra incentive, you know?
Right. And then immediately following that, Grimes came out and started yelling about number one contender match and stuff, and I didn't know where that came from. So I'm hoping either you or someone in the chat can explain this to me.
So Cameron Grimes, man, and this is my gripe with NXT, right? My gripe. Well, grinds my gears is this and this North American Championship. Yeah, you debut it as like the singles title, right? You tell me it was the next step up. You give it to future champions, world NXT champions, and it kind of floats around. I love Keith Lee with it. If it was my job, I would keep those titles separate and give guys like Cameron Grimes, your Kushidas, guys that have wins and losses, something to fight for in an open weight division. This is what you need. But now you got Cameron Grimes just taking up time and be like, I'm Cameron Grimes. I beat Finn Balor. Woohoo! And then where's he going to go? So you have to give him a match. You have to make him win to keep him hot. But you don't know where that goes or what that means. And so guys like him, I actually like Cameron Grimes now. I bought on. I make fun of his hat. I think he's like 90% hat. But I think you need people like that on a brand, like your Baron Corbins or your MVPs. Those are just like, oh, I can't believe. But he makes some good points, but oh, I can't believe.
Right. Your impression spot on, by the way, that Cameron. One more time for the fans, please.
Woo-hoo, Cameron Grimes! Yeah!
Like Yosemite Sam. Yeah,
exactly.
And then moving on, and then we had what was my favorite match of the night, the main event. The Genius of the Sky, NXT Women's Champion Io Shirai, taking on half of the really good tag team champions, Sasha Banks.
The lame half.
With her mother, who's going to be complaining to a manager soon, Bayley, on the outskirts.
Whoa, how dare you disrespect, stop the show. How dare you disrespect Bayley? Keep the graphic up, right, guy, because I'm getting to it in a second. Bayley, as I've said many times on this network, on many shows, so much, that's what people call me, heel Beto, because I'm never a heel. I defended my girl. Here is somebody who's won everything there is to win, save for the Royal Rumble, that's coming soon. She's done it all. She's on three brands. She is physically stronger than half the roster, is one of the safest workers to work with, Money in the Bank, Raw champion, SmackDown champion, Women's Tag Team champion, NXT champion, and she comes out and she makes you feel something because she is that dang good, and she's speaking to a manager. I tell you what, the manager already knows he's in trouble when Bayley walks to the door. He talks to himself. I'm sorry, Bayley. I'm so sorry about that. But go ahead. Sasha Banks is in the match too.
You know what? Before we even get to the match, I will give Bayley one bit of kudos where she cracked me up. It's when she walked over to the Dodge Viper and started honking the horn in the middle of the match. That made me laugh a little bit. That and the audience. The audience was on point tonight. They had some really funny chants going on tonight. So that entertained me.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Beginning to the end.
Strap on rock. Yeah. I was like, no one
now, So with Asuka coming in, you know, and saving the day and helping out and all that good stuff, do you think this match was, like the chat was saying earlier, just something to lead into the Sasha versus Asuka match coming up? Or do you think that was added in later? Or how do you feel about that?
So many things to unpack there, man. So Io Shirai was supposed to say, look, NXT is my territory. Personally, as a character person, I don't like the fact that she's now basically working as a face, even though she's that still unhinged character. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of weird that in the world of now with this precaution we have with safety measures, Asuka brought back the mist tonight. But it makes sense. You know, Sasha's out of her element. She's not on home territory. She got outfoxed by her opponent. You mm-hmm. basically set up that next match at the horror show with Extreme Rules. And then you give people a highlight match with a clear, decisive finish. That's something that I was a lot more than I thought. I thought it was like a no DQ or no contest.
You know, you're right about that. You're making some solid points tonight because you just changed my mind on that too. I like the finish because there were shenanigans, but it wasn't like a no DQ or anything like that, like something weird that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a fun match overall. I mean, every lady did their part right. I do like that. I do like the fact that it's Io Shirai just showed me today that she is a main event player or like a main roster player. There you go. Like she kept up with all those women that were on there. Sure. So to me, it's like, it was like, she stepped up her game and that's what I enjoyed the most on. She kept up with all of them. And one thing I noticed with a lot of NXT stars is when they do go up to the main roster, and I'm not talking about like the Matt Riddles and stuff, some of the smaller ones, you'll see them hiccuping here and there. You'll see them messing up here and there. You'll see these things go left and right. But with Io Shirai, she's always on point, and I don't catch many botches with her. She's always very, very well put together. There you go, on all of her matches. I'm going to ask her how she does it, because she surprised me.
How? You're Orlando? Hey! It's me, Hamza!
I'll be like, hey, konnichiwa. And then she'll understand me from there.
But it's true. She'll say security. That's universal A language. What are you doing in my house? No, I got to be honest with you. Yeah, because Io Shirai was somebody that kind of flew under my radar. She was the Mae Young Classic. I said she was in the final of the Mae Young Classic, and I was like, eh, okay, whatever, you know. But right. She's so good at what she does, even when someone like Becky or Charlotte goes on the interview circuit and like, oh, who do you want to wrestle? It's never like Bianca Belair. It's never like Candice LeRae. It's like, you know, Io Shirai is doing something. Right. I want to work with her. And that says a lot. That's getting the rub without even getting the rub. So the match itself was great. And I can tell you, a couple days ago when Great American Bash was just 1 week, because now it's magically 2 weeks. Back when it was 1 week, you had the main event being Io Shirai and Sasha, and it was done. Everyone's like, cool, I'm on board. I don't need a title. I just need them to have a match because that's like something of a dream card, you know?
It almost seemed like they changed the matches for next week to for the main event to be the what is who is it Keith Lee
Adam Cole.
Yeah, Adam Cole match, that unification match. I think that's what it kind of seemed like they did, and then they just added these other matches to fill it in because they wanted that to be the main event, which leads me to believe something big is gonna happen. And by something big, I'm gonna go back to my prediction: Keith Lee wins this, takes it all, and Adam Cole can move on up to the main roster if that's what he wants to do. But that's my guess on this.
I disagree.
Always.
What? Always. That's not true.
What do I know? What do I know?
You know. I think if everything was equal, Hamza, that'd be completely correct. However, we're forgetting that 2 weeks ago, Keith Lee broke Karrion Kross's hourglass. We haven't seen Karrion Kross yet. I'm thinking he gets involved in this match and calls Keith Lee the win. And that's the only reason why I disagree with you. I'm not a hater, dear sir.
You okay? All right. I was wrong this entire time. I guess
what?
I guess the moderating is not for me.
No,
that makes sense.
You can't. No, we're opponents.
All right, fine. Let's continue our characters.
Yeah, exactly. I hate you, Hamza.
So we do have a stacked card for next week, and it seems like it'll still be fun to watch. I mean, I'm cool with it. That, to be honest, the Great American Bash, I just expected a little bit more staging and stuff. I wanted them to really make it the Great American Bash outside of placing two cars there and some red, white, and blue balloons, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm still excited that they're putting something on for us. I know it's a rough time for everybody, so any product I can get it, I'll be happy with. What do you feel is going to be your favorite matches next week and why?
Before we get to that, I just want to say that as a wedding DJ, the indoor pyro things, excellent. Because I know you can't have like real fireworks. I was enamored by that. It has to be Yim LeRae. I think Yim had a really good showing today. And wow. LeRae, if you guys know her independent stuff, she is known as being not a hardcore wrestler, but she can go in that space if need be. If they really give it the time, which I hope they do because it's branded as a pay-per-view, this street fight could be something we haven't seen from both women. So that's one I'm looking forward to the most.
Oh, got it. Cool. Everyone always gets behind LeRae a lot. Everyone gives her a lot of kudos and stuff. And I personally, maybe I just don't pay attention to her when she wrestles, but I haven't seen anything spectacular yet. So I'm hoping that this match, I feel like she's going to go over. So if she does, I'm hoping that she can deliver something spectacular to us. Personally speaking, I'm really looking forward to the Keith Lee Adam Cole match because outside of the shenanigans, if no shenanigans happen,
yeah,
I feel like it's such a like, there's going to be a definitive loser. There's going to be a definitive winner. So this is going to change the landscape regardless which way it goes. So it almost seems like an ending of a chapter, starting of another one to me. But absolutely. Then you mentioned Karrion Kross and you ruined my dreams and my hopes. I'm going to cry myself to sleep tonight. So.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, why?
So, I mean, I guess that's it for the tonight's card, right? It seemed like they had fewer matches. They were all longer matches, which I always enjoy. Let's see what happens next week. But before we even sign off, I believe we have to tell people where to find you. Or unless you're
I don't know. It's all flipped out. Hey, it's your boy Flobo. You know what you can do is follow me on Twitter at Flobo Boys, on Instagram at Flopito and Flopito.com, and the Patreon, patreon.com/FloboBoys. Exclusive and bonus content available there. Please become a friend and subscribe. Players.
Awesome, man. And then my name is Hamza Mania, Hamza, H-U-M-Z-A underscore Mania, M-A-N-I-A, on all social medias. I've been working very hard on this wrestling promotion with Knox Pro Wrestling Academy, and starting next week, we are going to go live with two free matches a week and one pay-per-view style match with some awesome wrestling stars. So if you guys want to inbox me, DM me or something like that, I'll show you guys where to register and where to subscribe and all that good stuff so you can view it. Like I said, it's free. Come through. Flobo, I better see you there. And I'm going to put you on commentary one day so we can see that stage.
I love it.
Awesome. But hey,
East to win, baby.
Hey, until then, my name is Hamza Khan. This is Flobo Boys, and we are your NXT AfterBuzz podcast hosts. And we will see you guys next week for part two of the Great American Bash.
Wear a mask.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.